All right, my friend, let's stop pretending like we're cool about this energy work. I'm really into it. You're really into it. And we're probably both a little bit worried about being cringe and like not serious and all that. But it is time we let our freak flags fly. This is A Healer's Journey. I'm your host, Inga Brewer, and today we are talking about what happens when you start falling in love with healing and energy work. And frankly, you get scared of being way too into it, scared of what people might think, scared of losing yourself in it, scared of losing your people, scared of everything changing. So, said in a different way, the block is being mistrustful of your own enthusiasm and being worried that it's going to lead you to lose touch with reality. On a subtle level, that's like dampening your voice when you're talking with people in your life about what you're really into, trying to shift the language, being hyper attuned to like the look in people's eyes when you talk to them about what you're into, maybe energy work, maybe your healing journey. And you get like really sensitive to do people get it or not? You know what is whispered about the people who get quote unquote too into it. People get worried about them. People get concerned that they're getting off the deep end. People are afraid that you're joining a cult, that you're abandoning logic, professionalism, groundedness. But the real, like, actual truth of this is that by not letting yourself be really into what you're really into, not trusting yourself to navigate that in a grounded, safe way, you're not actually keeping yourself safe or connected to your people. You're actually pulling away from them and you're dimming your light, and you are actually probably growing quietly resentful. And it's that hampers the connection with your people, not what you're actually into. It also leads to your radiance being hidden. It hampers you from taking sort of leadership in your friend group. It's kind of like, oh, now I've got this like shameful secret of something that I'm really into, and I have to dampen that. And in the process, you're actually hiding your light, hiding you. And that never feels good. When we do that and we kind of like just pick and choose what other people are inviting us on as a journey, like what they're inviting us to, like what suppers are being created, what friends gathering is happening, what social events you go to, and you kind of like retract and sort of decide that, like, oh, well, what I'm into, nobody's into, so I can't create my own, or I can't invite other people into my thing. That's where you lose so much of your spark, so much of your leadership. And so what I want to invite you into here a little bit is that, like, you can actually invite people into what you're into. You can bring them to a full moon circle, bring them to a sound bath. Don't go to like the most ultra woo thing, probably. But there are a lot of beautiful grounded options. And the second thing is, I know for a long time the archetype of somebody who gets into energy healing is somebody who loses their grounding. But you are not an archetype. You are a human being, and you value staying grounded and connected to your people. And so keep putting that forward. All right. So let me tell you, yeah, just a few stories about this, of how I experienced this a little bit. As a kid, I really liked like playing skip rope or ballon poire for for those who know what that is, at recess, I liked like moving my body. I liked running around. And I was also very concerned with fitting in. So part of my story is that I changed schools 4 years in a row. So grade one, grade two, grade three, grade four, we're all at different schools. So I got really good at like learning a new culture. First of all, grade one was in Vancouver, and then grade two was in Classe d'Accueil, which is like a welcoming group here in Quebec where I learned French. Then I went to like a normal school. Then I went to an alternative school where I stayed grades five and six. So I changed actual cultures within Canada, and then I changed cultures of the different schools. And so I became really good at reading the room and really good at figuring out what was presented to me and choosing from the options that were there. And I did not have the confidence to enter into a new space and be like, hey, I'm really into skip rope. Who wants to play skip rope with me? It felt like a matter of survival to make myself smallish, to make myself fit into what was already going, not ruffle any feathers. And that's how my codependent patterns started. But when there was a game of skip rope, like I came alive and I loved it, and it really drew people to me. And I had a pattern in school that when I kind of like was allowed to play these things, like all the kids wanted to be my friends, all the girls. Back then it was very divided. All the girls wanted to be my friends, and it was very, very magnetic. And then growing up, when I was 16, somebody asked me like, what do you want to be? What do you think you want to be when you grow up? What's the most important thing? And like genuinely, the answer that came to me was like, I want to be authentic. And it was a very deep experience for me, first of all, to express that. And second of all, to claim that for myself as something I could want. And authenticity comes with being into what you're into and letting yourself be different from other people, letting yourself be enthusiastic, letting yourself be sort of infused with passion and aliveness. And when I do that, and I'm so, so lucky that in my classes, when I teach, I light up from the inside. I can't stop talking. I used to be super quiet. I have so much to say. I feel like my energy is buoyant. It sweeps other people in. It holds people's attention. It collapses time. So with the right people, being into what you're into and going into full nerd fest feels so good. There's something really subtle that I'm learning about this that is very, very beautiful. So when we're into what we're into, first of all, it magnetizes the people that are into it as well. And you get to kind of like froth each other up and go even higher and go even deeper and go really, 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 yeah, enjoy it. And when you're witnessing somebody else be really into what they're into, my husband's really into growing our community organization right now. And it is so beautiful to witness somebody else in that. And there is a like subtle differentiation. It's like they're into this. I'm not so much into this, but I like being around this. It makes me feel alive too. It makes me enthusiastic also. Even if I'm not so into what he's into exactly, it sparks something in me. It makes something come alive. So it's such a gift when we're really into what we're into. So that brings me to the desire to like break this block apart a little bit more. Fear isn't just about being judged. It's about losing connection. And so what I'm noticing with my husband here is like it does create a separation when you're into something that somebody else isn't. But that isn't necessarily a problem. I think often love can grow bigger precisely because you are not the same person, because you're not into the same things. There's something quite magical to being in a house with someone and you're really doing your thing and they're really doing their thing, and you're both like filled with light from the inside, filled with really the light of inspiration, and at a level deeper, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but of God. And it creates a separation in that you're not in the same God bubble, if you will, but you can both be in that light of enthusiasm. And in that separation, there's like a whole new level of creativity, a whole new level of tension, a whole new level of love that's possible. So you might separate, individuate a little bit from your people by being into what you're into unapologetically. I think that is probably something that is real. And that doesn't mean you have to lose the connection, because you probably have tons of other connection points with that person. You know, I always have to talk about what you're into. There's such deep connection that can be made just by cooking together in the kitchen, gardening together, doing things side by side, working together on a project. That connection is very real and very anchoring and very tethering. And it doesn't go away because you're suddenly into something that they're not into. However, for my sweethearts who get in a little bit of a hyper focus bubble, and I get this too, it does create a bit of an extra tension. So just by naming it right now, I want to invite you to just be aware of it, and you can mitigate this a little bit. So when I get really into some kind of a healing thing, or like really deep into myself, I can go so deep that I forget to close cabinet doors. I sort of forget to meal plan. I forget to do things around the house. I just get like so enthusiastic and into it that I do lose some grounding. And the people around me, my husband mostly, notices that. And there is a pattern there sometimes where he feels a little bit abandoned by my passion for something else. So with time, I've learned to like, okay, like I'm going to close that door a little bit, and I'm going to reground, revalue what is directly here in front of me, even if it's not as exciting and I'm not as enthusiastic about it. But I value grounding. I value that shared life, that shared connection I have with him. So I'm going to keep investing in that. So if this is a big fear for you, this is what I'm presenting as a possible solution. First of all, just acknowledging the fear and seeing that maybe there is something to it. You may lose a little bit of connection, but you can mitigate that. You can be responsible with this. You can truly close the book on the passion thing for a moment, like just letting yourself soak it up, be like really fulfilled by it, and then go and live the rest of your life. There's, a quote about enlightenment. After enlightenment comes the laundry. And that has been such a grounding factor in my life, because like there's literally like a load of laundry on my bed right now, and that stuff just continues, and it's not separate from your life. So the laundry and the connections with your people. So keep going to the suppers, even if you're not talking about deep spiritual things. Keep going for a bike ride with that friend that you don't speak about these things with, but it tethers you, it connects you. And then see what you can do to tend your fire, tend your connection, tend your passion, your enthusiasm within those contexts. How can you share it so that you're sharing part of your light? You're not asking somebody else to validate your light, to say like, this is an okay light or this is not an okay light. You are simply like shining it a little bit brighter and allowing people to see you, to see your enthusiasm, to see your excitement. And then like keep the connection going, because I know you value that. Keep asking questions about them. You might, if you're interested in healing and energy healing, you might start asking questions about like how they experience things in life. Things that you might not say like, oh, how's your root chakra today? But like asking a question to your friend of like, you always seem so like present and here. Like, how do you do that? And now you've grounded that language and you're talking about things you're interested in with somebody who technically isn't into chakras and stuff, but can probably give you a really good answer. Maybe they'll say something like, oh, I've always been like this and my parents were like this. And I think it's so important to really be here because our life is so short. And boom, you've got something really profound that they've shared with you. So I want to bring to you, like I want to inspire you, if you will, to this new place where you can be both anchored, inspired, and radiant all at the same time. And it is a skill you can learn. It's not because other people aren't what you're into that you have to hide it. You can actually like breathe life into it as you stay anchored, as you stay connected. You can also like use your alone time to fully go into these things, like let your freak flag fly, do the meditations, go on the deep journeys. Eventually what you're going to do is you're going to find some people you can talk about this with and you're going to grow those connections. But then come back to your actual life. Bring your joy, bring your healing, let it breathe, like let it be expressed without needing to name all of it. It's also like really helpful to like laugh at yourself a little bit about it, like not take it too seriously. Yes, this is probably like an identity shift, something that's like a really big deal for you, but it doesn't mean it has to be serious and it doesn't mean you have to take yourself so seriously. So when you really let yourself be into something, there's a glow about you. There's like a field, and people who are also interested in the core of those same things, they come near you. They're like attracted like moths to a flame. And it's not really to copy, but to like remember themselves. Like they touch that same enthusiasm in them. So to anchor all of this, I want you to bring your attention into your solar plexus and see what happens if you let your light or your freak flag fly for a second. Let your light shine and sort of whisper to yourself, like, I'm into what I'm into and it's okay. And I can trust myself to stay grounded throughout. I can trust myself to nurture what I value beyond this. I get to be into what I'm into without it consuming me. I'm still here. I'm just becoming more of me. This has been The Healer's Journey. I'm your host, Inga Brewer. And if this episode resonated with you and you are so into energy work and you want to go deeper and you want to nerd out with other people that are really into it, I want you to join Healer Awakened or Healer Embodied. So we're not just learning Reiki, we're really building the inner posture, the inner capacity to stay connected to our joy, our depth, our connection to God, to grounding, to our truth, even when it scares us, even when it stretches us. And we learn to hold that identity in a new way, in a way that doesn't mean you have to blow up your whole life. It can just add. It's additive to what's already there. And it's just going to make everything a little bit more magical, a little bit more true, a little bit more alive. So my enthusiasm, it wakes something up in you and you want to be around it, trust it. It's real. Come talk to me on Instagram at Inga Heals, and we'll see where that can lead us.